I peered around real sharp, but there was nothing around, except some few clouds was chasing the moon. So Critter and I forded the creek and headed into the woods. I sure didn't know where I would go. A hunted man ain't got many choices. It wasn't far from dawn.
"Critter, take me where you will."
Critter snapped at me and turned downstream, away from the mines, and settled into a cheerful jog. He was plumb happy to get out of that upstairs jail. We were jogging along when we got to the big place owned by Cletus Carboy, owner and proprietor of the Big Mother Gold Mine. And that blasted critter turned in then and there and followed a graveled road toward the man's house. Well, I thought, that wasn't a bad idea. It might be the safest place for me in the county, the one place that scruples didn't control. So we jogged in there at a fine time when the dew was on the grass and all the world was hushed and peaceful. I tied old Critter to the hitch rail and looked around. It sure was quiet and dewy there.
"Good morning, Mr. Cotton. I've been expecting you."
The man stood in the deep dark of the veranda, and I'd missed him. I looked around, trying to make sense of it.
"In a few minutes, there will be light enough. I'm Cletus Carboy. This was the right place to come. Now that Scruple's men have turned you into a bullseye and Mrs. Argo has evicted you and your horse from her rooms, and you have turned down Amanda Truville's advances, and that thug Arnold has knocked you senseless a few more times than you appreciate, I imagine you would enjoy a haven."
"How do you know all that?"
"Snitches, Mr. Cotton. I have 10 times more snitches than Scruples, and I pay them well. I even have snitches in Scruple's own little army. I have snitches in every saloon. Not much escapes me. I've known most everything that has happened to you for some while. But by all means, come join me here on the veranda. I am awaiting the sunrise."
A streak of soft blue in the east was tipping off the new day. I stepped up to the veranda, which stretched around 3 sides of his house, and discovered something I could hardly imagine. This man was dressed in a swallowtail black tuxedo with a boiled white shirt and a black bow tie. His dark hair had been slicked back real nice, and he held a little white stick in his hand. He had a little white pointy beard and a gold ring on his finger.
"Have a seat."
He pointed to some porch furniture.
"I was sort of looking for a place to stay."
"My baton. As soon as the light quickens a little, I shall conduct the bird chorus. It is my delight. From the first soft note, tentative on the morning breeze, to the full symphony of cheeping and trilling and whistling and singing, we shall have our morning symphony. The meadowlarks and jays and crows and robins all have their own way of celebrating the new day. I like to think they take direction from me as I conduct their serenade. This is the perfect dawn, the best of the year. No breeze, a clear heaven, a soft dew on the meadows. A bold and brassy sun even now gathering itself to burst over the eastern horizon. And when it does, my whole orchestra will play."
Well, I thought, I had nothing to lose. Even as the light quickened, the birds started chirping. Pretty soon it built up into a bunch of birds, all bursting their hearts out, greeting the sun as it got strength and began rolling toward the horizon. I never sat through nothing like it. Carboy, he looked like a band director, only he was all dressed up in one of them swallowtails, and every time he twitched that there ivory stick, another bird joined the crowd. He knew just where them birds was sitting, and he'd look at a big old cottonwood, and next I knew them birds up there would start a full-throated melody, chirping like there was no tomorrow. Carboy knew where every last bird was hiding, and knew when every last sparrow would start whistling and twittering. He knew them meadowlarks, and he knew when the crows would start calling, and the jays would start rattling like snare drums, and the pigeons would start wooing. He stood there on the veranda, on the balls of his feet mostly, his arms a-flailing away as the music got rolling. Me? I sat behind him in deep shadow, watching the sun bust over the eastern side of the world, and watched that sun start to turn him yellow, like he was wearing gold. And then, off yonder, near the creek, I saw the sun glint off metal.
and I didn't think none.
Whoa!
I just dove for Carboy and slammed into him and toppled him even as a shot chopped away the serenade and struck the house just behind where he was standing. He looked outraged.
How dare you!
He started up from the porch planks, but I landed on him again until he quit the struggling, and I pointed at that there bullet hole, big as a fist, in the window frame behind him.
Oh, heavens.
Crawl in there and get a gun. I'm going after the bastard.
Rudolph Costello Glenn. I've been expecting it.
If he was expecting it, why was he standing on that porch as the sun came up? I was gonna have a little talk with that one.
Stay covered.
I got to where I first saw the glint and hunted along the creek and thought maybe I saw a place he had used to cross to the other side, but he'd vanished.
Glenn, I'm coming for you. I'll get you. You ain't gonna kill again.
But all I got for that was silence.